show.
We're here. It's the week. It's Thursday. It's not quite Friday. We're not ready to party, but we're partying-ish. Joining me to discuss the week's technology and in a new format, because I've been a lazy bastard, it's James Hart.
How am I in a new format? I can't see myself in a new format.
No.
I'm wearing a different polo shirt to normal.
The show's in.
Okay.
How have you put your bookshelf back, because you had a bare wall last week.
No, I have. I've got a cloth that I put at the back. Right, this is true. This is true, but dull. My mate John has bought some furniture, had it delivered around my house, and because it's now in my studio, I don't want it to get damaged by anything. And when you've got like a couple of chests of drawers, it's so hard not to put stuff on it. Mm. And so I've had to put the cloth over it so I don't beat the crap out of it before he comes to collect it. So the cloth is over there. So hence the bookshelf behind me. I need to sort of create a shrine to Alan Partridge or something. There. But yes, I need
a green screen, and then we can put all kinds of crap behind you.
My son has got a green screen, but I'm really rubbish at it.
Oh, okay. Next
fortnight, I shall have a green screen.
Deal.
Brilliant idea, Ewan. I shall bring a green screen.
And we'll put something behind you that's totally and utterly embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
It'll be a picture when you won at the Luton Airport Executive Club. Next to him, Jeff Gamet. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good.
Relieved to find out he doesn't have a cleft chin.
Yes. And, so that's one thing I won't be able to use against my parents when I make their lives really uncomfortable when I start questioning my genetic heritage.
Jolly good.
As one does.
Of course. Most people have got over it by their 40s, though, Jeff.
Yeah, you would think my parents would have gotten over it by now.
It's not that you don't know. It's just that you don't care anymore.
For me, true. For them, they seem to get kind of uptight. Therefore, I bring it up.
Start a new website, mate. That's what we need. Who claims to be Jeff Gamet's parents? Underneath.
Oh my God, I want to see that website.
Well, you can make it. Underneath him, join us last minute. Thank you ever so much for stepping in, girl. The holidays have crippled us again. Kelly Gamont, how's things? You're on mute, girl.
There we go.
So we'll never know how Kelly is.
Interpretive dance, Kelly. There you go.
There we go. Good girl. Good week.
Yeah.
Is that really a margarita?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Girl, we corrupt so many people in this country.
I told you. Right over there. What? It's afternoon. Right over there, I have a fully stocked bar.
Yeah. Okay.
And right over there, I have a fully stocked refrigerator, so it's easy.
Do you get any work done?
A little triple sec, little tequila. Yeah.
You get work done, though.
Oh, yeah.
You get some. Do you answer like tech support questions?
Sometimes.
Do your answers get a bit more frizzy towards the end of the afternoon?
No, they get a little less urgent as people go. No, that's a bummer, dude. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
No, nothing like that.
Oh well. And finally, but by no means last, Carl Madden.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Didn't come out right. I'm good, but are you?
I'm fine. Looking forward to Saturday where I have to get drunk yet again.
Yes.
So I need a particular day, but...
We are be mostly drinking beer at the British Beer Festival at Olympia.
Oh, yes.
And they've just sent me an email saying, sorry we couldn't get you a ticket in time. Please bring this email as proof of purchase.
Oh.
Hey, result.
Well, that's awesome.
In case I can't find it. So, we're not meeting beforehand. I'm in London at 9 o'clock.
I'm going to be asleep at 9 o'clock.
What am I going to do for 3 hours in London from 9 o'clock in the morning? It's not like it's midnight and I've got 3 hours to kill.
Anything you want to do in London.
It could be breakfast at Greasy Joe's or something like that.
You could run through the water at Trafalgar Square. That's always popular.
Yeah, but then I'll be shivering and cold for the rest of the day. We train at Holmes at 9 o'clock tonight in the night. So, and the beer festival finishes at 7, so I've got 2 hours to kill on the way back. Never mind. We're here to discuss technology, but I've been pretty busy this week. I've had my head down.
Since when?
Really? No, I've been trying to take a video that I made last year that was awesome and put some music with it that's copyright free, and it's a piece of shit. I hate it. But I'm getting paid to do it, so it can't be the end of the world. So we're having a bring a story party. So here we go. We'll spin the top, and who would like to kick us off? Who's got a cool story to bring us up?
Can I just start off by saying I was looking down, because obviously we're broadcasting on YouTube, And my immediate reaction once the YouTube thing, you know, you've got the screen in front of you, you've got your little bit list of stuff to watch down the right-hand side, and there's some bizarre foreigns. Underneath that, it looks like Robert Downey Jr. is doing adverts for HTC. And then you add Kevin Bacon doing ads for Everything Everywhere. What is it about mobile phones and films? Is this a new thing they're doing now? Why are they getting celebrities to promote their phone? Are they really that desperate?
No, to get with that dumb.
Well, look, we're making fun of Apple's getting them.
I've got a theory. Have you seen the Al Pacino advert for the broadband? Right.
No.
Al Pacino does an advert where he supposedly his broadband's crapped out, and he gets two service techs come up who say there's nothing wrong with it, and he smashes a golf ball into it and says, but there was with the thing. And I reckon that's all made in green screen so that he doesn't actually mention the product. He never says what the product is or what it's doing. So I reckon it's done. He's been paid to do something, and they take it and apply it to whatever the hell they like.
Good Lord.
And I reckon that's what a lot of the big stars are doing.
So it's completely brand-free until the end where it has all the logos. And
Pacino says nothing about the product. He doesn't say it's broadband. He doesn't say it's TV. He doesn't say... He just says, big sky. That's it. And that's all he says. He says nothing at all about the product.
The only reason I mentioned this is because... sorry, go on. Carl?
No, I was just kind of in shock, realizing that I could be doing green screen stuff of myself and selling it.
Yeah, no.
I did not think of this before.
You're a celebrity.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Advertising agencies will just snap it up because, frankly, there doesn't seem to be any imagination in adverts at all anymore. The reason I brought it up, you see, was because it looks like Facebook are a little bit jealous of Twitter because Twitter is the place where the celebrities make asses of themselves in front of their fans. You know, everything from Kanye West to Rihanna to everybody who is a celebrity appears on Twitter, and the audience feel, you know, the fans feel that they're connecting in some ways. And every now and then, I mean, some people get so excited that they get an at reply from someone who's moderately famous. Jeff, that's you being the famous person rather than
of course.
Yeah, of course. But it seems that Facebook is testing a VIP only area so that the fans can just sort of look through this glistening window at the celebrities. I'm just thinking, Facebook haven't been in the news recently. Well, barely at all. They've hardly done anything over the last few months. And that this has just sort of cropped up as a little blip on the radar shows some sense of desperation from from Mark Zuckerberg and his guys. What is this the best they can do at the moment?
Hey, Facebook wants to get back in the news. They know what to do. Just change their privacy policies again without telling anyone. That gets
absolutely.
Them in.
Mm.
Yeah, we like to call that Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook's working on a new app. You can't use unless you're a celebrity. Because Channing Tatum sent his first picture of his baby out. Instead of going through the tabloid, sent it out on Twitter. And Batwinch in the chat room says, that baby won't be going hungry then.
No, it won't.
I think Channing Tatum's actually quite a nice guy, probably. Some of the interviews I've seen him, he seemed all right.
He seems really awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of want to hate him for being that hot and then being, like, funny and interesting and kind of cool, but he's awesome, and so you kind of can't hate him. Like, it's, yeah.
You can't hate hot guys,
but the thing is, the tabloid journos want you to hate him, so they're going to be digging through for absolutely every skeleton in his closet, which really is unfair on him, really. But then again, if you choose to live your life in the public eye, that's what I guess you can expect. I mean, I feel sorry for people who are good-looking.
Here's the thing is that he used to be a stripper, and he doesn't really... And he's not, like, embarrassed about it. He's like, yeah, it's what I used to do, and I don't anymore. Like, he's totally upfront about it. It's not like somebody's going to spring this on him later.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really entertaining. He's like,
I was going to say, I'm not sure many of the people in the chat room actually know who Channing Tate is. I thought that Channing Tate was a female.
Stockard Channing was in shit cowboy movies, wasn't she?
Any relation?
And
she was also
Carol
in Greece.
Is it safe to Google Channing Tate?
Channing Tatum has been in one of the films he's been in, which is actually a very good film, is 21 Jump Street.
oh my God, it's so much better than it should be for being 21 Jump Street.
Exactly. It's a crap title, but it's actually a really good film. Ellis and I watched it the other night, and there's a bit of it that's not really appropriate for Ellis, but we kind of brushed over that, and we barely laughed.
It's a TV show from here, from the 80s, that starred Johnny Depp and Peter DeLuise back in the day.
Ah, that's why Johnny Depp cropped up in it.
The movie made more sense now.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what they... So it's about these guys that... The point of 21 Jump Street, it was this TV show about people who were older who they sent back into high schools undercover to make drug busts. And so that was always what the 21 Jump Street unit of folks was all about. And it was Gordon from Sesame Street's daughter was one of the people. And then Johnny Depp and Peter DeLuise and another guy whose name escapes me at the moment. And it was a show. And then Channing Tatum and whatchacallit made a movie out of it. And the movie was way better than it should have been for being a 21 Jump Street movie.
It's excellent. It's excellent. And
go see it. You can get it on Redbox in the US for a buck. It's totally worth it.
He's also been in The Eagle, which is actually a pretty good film with Billy Elliot bloke. Can't remember his name. And he plays the captain in that, and he's very good in it, actually, where they recover the eagle that's lost to the Scottish nations. There you go. 21A Jump Street, James, you should have said that. That was funny.
Came back to the Facebook thing. The fact that if they decide to give celebrities a sort of VIP section, that makes me want to use Facebook even less.
Absolutely. I saw the Sax in the chat room was saying, I'm going to have to deactivate my Facebook account.
I'm offended that I haven't been offered my celebrity account yet.
Well, I was going to say, what's the entry criteria here?
Well, I would say, actually, it's a very similar thing to have this the Twitter verified thing, to have little sort of V thing. Jeff, have you been Twitter verified yet? Have they come round your house and made sure it's you?
No.
And, that's your next step.
And I'm just furious. What is wrong with the internet?
You can't be Twitter verified by request, can you?
You have to. It's like this.
They have to find you.
They have to decide you're worth verifying, I think.
Yeah.
So basically, this is Facebook's own version of that. And I just think it's tawdry, and it's just going to turn Facebook into a massive OK magazine.
Well, it isn't now.
Well, good.
OK magazine with Candy Crush.
No, but the thing is, as well, their fatal error in this is that they said in here, according to the conversation they had with All Things D, we are testing these features with a small group of partners. So you know what famous people are like? Well, if they're not good enough to test with them, they're not. I don't want it anyway. Mm. So the three people that they've got, three celebs that they've got testing with it, the rest are all like, bollocks.
Pretty much.
Pretty much it. fail? This is like it or miss, isn't it?
Yep, fail.
Fail.
Very, very quickly on the tail of that, is anybody actually using Twitter Music? I was thinking, what's Twitter recently done? Oh, I remember Twitter Music, and I went there, and it gave me a 500 internal server error, so I gave up. I think it's broken.
Well, that's kind of telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just updated their iPhone app the other day, and it made it much more useful, but I checked it out on the day, and then the very next day I forgot to use it again, so...
Oh, dear. I went to the webpage, and it worked just fine, so...
Oh, it works lovely. It's just... There's no real reason for me to go to the app. That's the problem. If I've got... See, the idea is you go to the app and you link up your RDO account or your Spotify account, but then if you've already got those services, you just use those services. You don't need the Twitter middleman, so to speak. Mm. It's a weird service.
I'm not sure what it's all about, really.
So apparently I deleted the Twitter Music app off my iPhone a while ago and didn't even realize it.
Maybe it unfollowed automatically without knowing.
Yeah, that could be.
The Twitter unfollow. Has Keith the God Chegwin been verified? The answer is no, he hasn't.
So it might not actually be him.
It's not. It's not based on numbers of followers, from what I'm working out. So, but I mean, it's like someone's got 3 million, 8 million followers or whatever, and it's just like I'm happy with me 1,200.
Oh no, Keith Chegwin has been verified.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh well, that's amazing.
He follows me as well.
He follows.
Well, hey,
he DMs everyone that says
Cheg is here.
He DMs everyone that retweets his tweets.
That's true.
I retweeted him and he said, thanks, Ewan. Sent me a tweet back.
Bless him.
So exactly who is...
Keith Chegwin.
He's Janice Long's brother.
Let me get comfortable while you explain.
Keith Chegwin, there was... Right, in Saturday mornings, there used to be a thing with Noel Evans called the Saturday Swap Shop. And Swap Shop was where People would bring things that they wanted to swap, and they got into problems because some people would bring their brother or a gerbil or something like that. But Keith Chegwin would have a boxing ring out in the middle of a field in Christ knows where each week, and it would be a different location each week. And people would turn up at this location. They never announced the location until they went on air. So I'm down at Hopwood Fields at such and such. Come down if you got anything, bring it to swap it. And kids just stood there and swapped all their toys and games and stuff, and he'd swap some in the boxing ring. And the place was an absolute mass of people within like an hour. Mm-hmm. It was so popular, and it was a brilliant, brilliant
show. Isn't he on Life's Too Short?
Yes, he is.
Is that why I know his name?
Yes, you do. That's right. He's done Ricky Gervais, hasn't he? The extras as well.
Okay. He also did a whole quiz show completely naked.
Oh, God.
And he was married to Maggie Philbin, says the chat room.
Wasn't married.
And Ewan showing his age. Yes.
A naked quiz show. It's a very cold studio, apparently.
Cheggers Plays Pop as well. That was the first kids game. Mm-hmm. That was good. That was good. Yeah, we like
that.
See,
if I were to do a naked show, I would demand that either the studio is warm or that all the tables are strategically placed.
I'd hang a weight off the end of my penis for like an hour before. That's got nothing to do with the show, and that's just apropos of nothing.
Sorry, now that we have a show title, does anyone else have another story?
I'd finally have an excuse for doing it, that's all. I'd have an excuse for doing it. So, right, whose turn is it? Let's pick another one. Kelly, we should have started with ladies, really, shouldn't we? Very rude of me, I do apologise.
Well, if you ever invite one, you can start with her.
Ah, very good. But we did invite you kind of late, so I thought I'd give you a bit of breathing space. What have you got for us, girl?
So, this is a story that is an intersection of a bunch of things that Kelly really likes. And so that's why I'm bringing it. It's not necessarily because of its epic newsworthiness. It's because I think this is cool. So every year, it used to sort of be Catch as Catch Can. They would do sort of a random event here and there, the Disney Corporation, and they would award this thing called the Disney Legend. And now they do it at this thing called the D23 Expo. And it's just a big, it's like Macworld, but for Disney people. And this year, what they did was they awarded Steve Jobs a Disney Legend Award. And one of the cool things about the Disney Legend Award that I don't think a lot of people know, because most people don't even know about Disney Legend Awards, is that what they do is there's like a plaque. It's sort of like when you get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, mm-hmm. and they give you the plaque with the star on it. They do sort of a similar thing. Like if somebody's there, they can use handprints or something like that, like in front of the Chinese theater. But they also will do just like a logo, and then it'll say this person was given a Disney Legend Award on this date. And they have all of those at this one particular plaza at Disney Animation. It's not at Disneyland or Disney World. It's a place that most people actually don't get to see, but I've gotten the opportunity to go there. And so I've gotten to go see all these awards to all these really huge Disney names. If you're any kind of Disney nerd, you know all the people I'm going to rattle off. People like Bob Gurr and X Atencio and Corey Burton. And they gave one to Jim Henson. They gave one to Mary Blair. Like super awesome people who have contributed a lot to Disney and or animation or whatever. And so
Walt Disney got one.
I don't know that they gave him one because it's kind of named after him.
I bet they forgot.
He got his own. But another thing that you can do just as an exercise in fun is if you look at the windows, if you're at a Disney park in the Magic Kingdom and you look at the names on the windows as you go down Main Street, they grant windows to people who were instrumental in park stuff. And so you can go, and if you write down the names that are on the windows and go look up those names later, you can find out who that person was and what they did for it. Like one of the people who has a window was one of the people who they bought the land from when it was all orange groves in California and turned it into Disneyland. Each of the families that they bought the land from got a name on a window. And anyway, that's just really cool. But the story this time is that this last weekend at the D23 Expo, they gave Steve Jobs a Disney Legend Award, and John Lasseter was who accepted it on Steve's behalf, obviously.
The talented one.
Make it. Yeah. John Lasseter's official title is Head of Imagineering, which means he oversees all the stuff that happens in animation, all the stuff that happens in the parks, anything that's idea stuff, that all comes from a department within Imagineering, and John Lasseter oversees all of that.
I've got to say, Kelly, Americans are really good at coming up with bullshit job titles.
Well, this is a Disney thing.
It's a talent.
That too. But specifically, Disney Imagineering is a very particular thing, only because Walt Disney came up with it because he wanted stuff that was engineered, but he didn't want it. He wanted it to be outside the box. And so Walt Disney named them Imagineers. Like,
yeah, the word Imagineers has been around for years.
70 years ago.
Since the 70s, 80s,
yeah. Oh, I aspire to be a toilet malfunctioner.
Oh, dear.
So, well, I have a friend that works for Disney Parks, and so we call him an accountaneer. Because it's way better than, you know, dude that tallies receipts or whatever it is his actual job is. Anyway, so yeah, Imagineering is really cool. And the thing about Imagineering is that a lot of awesome stuff has come out of Imagineering, like multiplane cameras, which are really awesome. And some of the animation effects stuff that you see commonly all the time now is stuff that originated at Disney Animation, specifically at Disney Animation Studios in Burbank. This is apparently a whole nother podcast. I didn't realize I was going to go on like that. But John Lasseter gave an acceptance speech, and the really nice thing about the video, the link in the show notes includes the video, is that you can watch John Lasseter talk about it. And John Lasseter worked very closely with Steve Jobs because Steve Jobs was running Pixar when he was away from Apple the first time. And so they worked together on a lot of things because John Lasseter sort of ran Pixar and then Steve Jobs was overseeing everything there. So they worked together pretty closely. So it's really interesting to get a story from somebody who knew Steve pretty well. And I'll give you the quote from the story, which is, we were having dinner one day in the middle of the hardest part of making Toy Story. And he started looking off again in the distance and he said, "You know, John, when we make the computers at Apple," he said, "the lifespan of that computer is what, 3 years?" He said, "In 5 years, it's a doorstop. You know, that's how technology goes." But he said, "If you do your job right, what you create and what Pixar creates can last forever." And there's a couple of times where when you're watching the video, you hear like the catch. You can hear that John Lasseter's kind of emotional about talking about Steve Jobs. And it's just a really nice moment. And it's kind of interesting to get a perspective on Steve Jobs from somebody who doesn't know him for his computer stuff. Because John Lasseter knows him as somebody who was at Pixar, not as somebody who was at Apple. That sort of informed his view, but it wasn't what he was about at the time. And so it's kind of interesting to get that perspective on Steve Jobs from somebody. And I thought that was very cool. I liked that they gave him the award and all that kind of stuff. Like I said, I'm an animation nerd, so that makes me a Disney nerd. And it's an Apple thing. So this is like an intersection of a bunch of stuff that Kelly really, really, really likes. And you should go check out the video because it's a very nice speech.
Well, that's Kelly's story covered there.
Yeah, up one side and down the other.
Carl, do you want to take us off on one? Don't go off on one, though.
The story I picked is NSA related, so everyone can groan.
Hey.
I know.
No, it's a good one. It's a good one.
It's the one in The Guardian that Jeff Jarvis wrote, who's from the Twitter network as well. And it's about... The NSA put out a thing saying they only touch 1.6% of the internet traffic. And you think about that, and you think 1.6, okay, so that's still not a lot. Not much at
all. That's a lot of data, though.
However, then what the article does is it starts to go through and break down what the internet traffic is every day. And there's some aggregate figures from a site called sandvine.com, where it's a document about the various uses and traffic over the internet. And the aggregate in peak period traffic competition in North America, 62% is real-time entertainment. So that's things like Netflix and YouTube and, all the various streaming networks out there. 11.8% is just web browsing, people just generally going to websites and stuff. 10.5% is file sharing, you know, just sharing, uploading files, whatever. 3% is tunneling, and 9.8% is other things outside the top five. So that leaves 2.9% is communications.
Yeah.
Of which NSA is monitoring 1.6%.
No.
It's half.
Yeah, they've got more than half of it, yeah.
So and it's the way they worded it sounds like they're getting nothing, but they're actually
monitoring more than half of the world's communication.
So I think that's...
Holy
I still think we should be concerned as just regular citizens, and that's just USA.
I agree. That's just USA.
That's yeah, which apparently they don't spy on, because they only spy on the foreigners.
Like oh, so that...
It's principle, though, because... If you don't have the right to be listening to me, I don't care if you have a warrant. If there's somebody that has some particular reason to be listening in on what I'm doing, they're going to be bored. But if they have something that makes them think they have cause, then fine. But it's that they don't have cause. And I think the thing that people are sort of getting hung up on is that anybody's listening to anyone at all and not they're listening without a good reason. And that's really the point of the argument that I think sometimes gets lost in a lot of yelling.
Hmm.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. And one of the arguments that people use is, look, if you don't have anything to hide, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, okay, let's equate it to your house. I'm not doing anything wrong. That doesn't mean that I want the government coming into my house and going through my dresser and looking at my socks and underpants. There's no reason for it, and it's a clear invasion of my privacy. It's the same thing if it's my online communication. If they have no reason and no court order authorizing them to monitor my communications, they should not be doing it, period. It doesn't matter that I'm not seeing anything that I would want to hide. It's just a matter of it's my information, it's private, and they should not be able to access that without an appropriate court order.
So
which means they need to have reasonable suspicion or probable cause.
This is a big problem because almost every organization, even down to the police, has this kind of regulatory body that oversees it to ensure that what it's doing is pretty much, you know, you have the police complaint. You know, you have all these federations to make sure that things are being done. This is so new that there isn't anybody sort of overseeing it. There's no government of this particular particular work. And there is no... They can say what they like. They can say what they're doing. You know, we only touch 1.6% of daily internet traffic. Why are they telling us this? Are they trying to reassure us? Because there's absolutely no clarity or kind of transparency in what they're doing at all, because it's all completely down to what they want to get out of it. So it's
just
to
what, that's just like saying we're just only looking at 7 of the 10 pairs of underpants in your drawer.
Just to have clear interpretation here, what we're saying is, by the figures that Carl's just quoted, the NSA is overseeing and recording and spying upon more than half of the internet traffic without judicial oversight.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And when a government has no judicial oversight...
It seems like we've seen this before.
When you have chopped down all the trees to get at the devil, where will you hide when he turns on you?
Oh, that's blimey.
What Jeff was saying about the fact that people, I've got nothing to hide, so I don't care if they fight. It's like, say, and Jeff uses his underpants drawer as a simile sort of thing, but I've been saying the one about if you go into a shop and the store detective follows you around that entire shop, watching you, what you're doing every second you're in there.
Yeah.
Now, that offends people.
Yeah, but you're in their premises. They can do what they like on the premises. If you don't like it, go shop elsewhere.
Exactly. And this is even worse because they're doing it on your premises, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Now let's pretend they're standing in your front yard, staring in the shop detective is now standing in your yard and looking in your window.
Hey, we got enough cameras around here in London that they could be
from
doing
the garden,
that
now. Like in case we find out that you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Well, you should have a reason for that. If I was getting this data at the library and not getting this data on the web, then if I'm doing something weird that, you know, something attention getting that's setting off flags and I'm doing it at the library, then it makes sense that maybe somebody there might be paying a little closer attention. But just on spec, like if I walk in wearing my Justice League t-shirt and that causes somebody a problem, that's not okay. Like if I walk in wearing a shirt that's
Marvel
like,
Comics readers could be upset.
Yeah. I look forward to your letters, Marvel Comics readers. It's just a very different thing because it's my stuff. And like, I get the thing with shop detectives, but like if that shop detective followed you all the way home in case, like, not okay. So...
Where's he gone? Windrider in the chat room says, if anyone's watching you through your window, you should flash them. He's also suggested that the better title would be Wankaneer. And Jeff needs to line his sock and pant drawer with tinfoil.
The only other way to counter this is to fill the internet with as much bollocks as possible.
That's not, dude.
So that the 1.6% of daily internet traffic is just crap. Yeah. And they're
basically what you're saying is I need to use the word scrotum in every communication.
Pretty much. I don't even read the article that
they need the word bomb.
Iceland have got someone in Iceland has booked this anti-gay preacher to appear there, and it turns out that the protesters have bought all the tickets and aren't going to turn up. So when he arrives, he's going to end up in this empty hall. Now, you see, that's what we need to do with the NSA.
That's clever. So yeah, Jeff, for every interesting thing you do, you have to go like watch a cat video.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only way we can beat this.
I can do that.
I just thought as well, if they're talking about the internet connections, they're doing 1.6% of 2.9, so they're more than half of the internet connection for communications. Now, communications also includes spam, and I bet you they've got a pretty good spam filter, so I reckon they're shoveling out all the spam. So spam is what, 60%, 70% of internet communication?
Good point.
So actually, they're getting more than all of the internet communications. They're getting 120% of bastards.
So they've got everything plus all of the...
They know what I'm going to send tomorrow! Up till lunchtime!
Yeah, and it's $2 million to Nigeria.
They've got they've got all the communications from today and all the communications in the world up till tomorrow lunchtime.
Wow.
They're going to have your ticket for the event.
That's right. They intercepted my ticket, and that's why I didn't lose it. No.
Uh-huh.
The Pirate Bay one.
Yeah, Pirate Bay have released... Oh, it's my turn now, then. Pirate Bay have released their own browser!
I know, it's awesome.
I think it's awesome. They've got a browser that will mask your movements and all the dirty shit that you do on the net. you can't access TTB or other torrent sites because they're being blocked by your provider. Then fear not, says Pirate Bay, because the Pirate Browser will let you in.
Yarr!
So the only thing that worries me about this is they say they use the Tor network, which was originally created by the US Navy.
Oh, right.
But there you go.
So do you think they've still got the admin password?
People forget that when they like mention the Tor network. It's created by the US Navy.
So they've still got the password for that, and they're monitoring it anyway.
Well, what this is for, it's not necessarily for keeping people from knowing what you're doing. It's for getting to stuff that is otherwise blocked. So if you're in China and China doesn't let you see certain pieces of the internet, this Pirate Bay browser will let you get around those sorts of restrictions. So if the government is keeping you from the book face or whatever it is that you want to see in a country like China or North Korea or anything in the Middle East, this is a browser that lets you get to all that stuff. So you can see news sites in the rest of the world or any other sorts of stuff that is going on that your government otherwise is keeping from you, then you can fix it this way.
Well, here in the UK, we've got TalkTalk, Sky, Virgin and BT all block torrent, Pirate Bay and other torrent sites, and it'll get around that. And also, of course, your porn filter that's coming up, thanks to David Cameron's... fine effort with Claire from Devizes. I reckon those two are shagging. That's completely libelous. No, it's a joke I've made up on the spot. Please don't sue me. Did I do that quick enough?
They've already sent you the letter yesterday.
Oh, shit. Of course, because they're ahead. Yeah, they knew I was going to say that.
Does China block BTN, do you know?
It will do after today. Actually, I've got to think most of our listeners block us. So. Ricky Gervais, by the way, about 20 minutes ago said he'd got his Facebook page through facebook.com/Ricky Gervais. Would everyone like him, please? I did reply.
I think so.
Too needy.
He's sold out. He's going to take religion next. You know it.
He's only just got onto Facebook.
That would be something.
There is one story that really bothered me, though, and it's one to do with printer inks. There's a firm called DCI who make compatible ink cartridges with Epson printers. And they've had a two-year running dispute with them over patents, and Epson have finally just threatened so hard that Dynamic Cassette International, who are DCI, have stepped down. They've decided not to make compatible ink cartridges anymore, and because of threat of legal action. And I've got to say, consumer-wise, I can't think. I mean, if there's a market on the internet that needs judicial oversight and regulation, it's compatibility issues with things, particularly like printer inks, because printer inks are more expensive than gold in terms of their weight to ratio to price ratio. And I've got similar issues with Canon. The Canon D6, my 6D, it's got batteries in it, and I went to get the Hanel batteries, which are very good and make very, very good copy batteries that you can still use on the chargers. They've chipped the batteries somehow, so that when you put a Hanel battery into the Canon charger, it won't charge anymore. And when you put it in the camera just tells you that the battery's about to fail.
See, that's kind of a crappy thing.
It is.
Not kind of.
We just looked on Amazon and
with printer ink,
and a four pack of Epson is like £30, and an alternative compatible ones are a tenner.
Yeah,
it's just a lot.
Okay. Go on, Jeff. Let Jeff finish what you're saying. Sorry.
Go on. Okay, so there's more to printer ink than what most people realize, and what's happening when these companies create their printer inks, they are putting just ridiculous amounts of research into how to make an ink that's the right mixture for the type of printer and for the types of papers. So there is a lot of research, and yes, it ends up costing a lot of money. I still think inks are overpriced, but...
Well, that's the ink, though, not the cartridge.
Right. Yeah, and so it's the ink that you're paying a fortune for. That cartridge is just thrown in. For most people, I don't think it matters because they don't care if their prints are going to last for years or even weeks. But for the people where it does matter, then we need to have the actual manufacturer inks and the specific papers that they say to use them on, so that you can get the 100-year lifespan off of a family portrait or whatever it is that you need. But what I would really like to see is that these companies would allow these other inks to be manufactured, so that people that really don't care about the print quality, they can get cheap ink. For the rest of us, where it actually matters, we go to the manufacturer and get the ink that we know is going to last, and the paper that we know it's going to work with.
Well, I'm not entirely sure I completely agree with that, Jeff, because I think the printer manufacturers sell the printers cheap, so that people buy them and are mm-hmm. bought into the ecosystem of the printer ink. However, the key issue that I think they forget is people, unless they use their printers all the time, they break. I mean, I've got through, I don't know how many bloody inkjet printers over the last 10 years. I'll buy one for £30. Yes, I'll spend £40 on a set of cartridges. I'll use the cartridges, then forget about it. Everything will go dry. I'll stick some new cartridges in. It'll look crap. I just go, bloody hell, throw it out, buy a new one. I'll get at least 2 months' use out of the little crappy little ones that get supplied with the printer itself. What they're doing is they are underselling the actual quality of the printer and trying to make the money back on the ink. But in doing so, they're pissing everybody off. Because when inkjet printers first came out, they were bloody expensive, and the inks were probably just as expensive, but of course we couldn't afford them. Why aren't they doing it? And is it because, for example, if they were to price an inkjet printer at a higher price, people would just go, well, a colour laser printer is not much more expensive, we'll go and buy one of those. And then they'd be out of the market because people would be buying toner instead of ink. I'm just wondering if they're just trying to keep themselves in business, and this is one sort of desperate step after another, really. I mean, that's just the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have two levels of printer quality. We have consumer printers, and then we have professional printers. On the consumer level, they're basically like Bic lighters with ink in them. And when
not much ink in them.
You just buy a new printer because it's going to be cheaper than yeah. buying ink.
But that's
when you
so
go
wasteful.
To the professional level, like the printer that's sitting Absolutely. Right behind me now, I have an $800 inkjet printer. And this thing will run for years. I won't have the problems with ink drying out and the problems that we complain about with the printers that we go and buy at Best Buy and Fry's and whatever electronic superstore chain you guys have in the UK. Those printers are crap just across the board. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course.
But how many of those crap cheap printers sell? One $800 printer and about 400 people will buy these cheap ones. They are selling.
Right. Yeah, they sell those things more. Just by the truckload. Which means they're pissing off a lot of people by selling crappy printers mm-hmm. that are cheaper than the ink that goes in them. Mm.
But even when you buy a new printer, though, when you buy a new printer, yes. it hasn't got a lot of ink in it anyway. So you're buying it's 1/10 of what you'd buy in the commercial grade stuff.
Yeah.
My friend Andrew's got a Canon plotter. And the inks for that, 4 cartridges are £1,000. And the printer is only, mm-hmm. the plotter was only 1.5. So it is stupid. We've got a new sponsor coming up in September. Who is a firm that does a little box. Scott Small seen it, one of the Twitter followers who's around here when the guy was installing it for me. But I've got a reservoir that sits next to my printer that has got, I don't know, probably about a quarter of a litre for each colour in it. And then they sell you the adaptive head to stick it into your printer, and that's it. And it just runs away. As long as you keep it out of direct sunlight, it's hermetically sealed, and it'll last you for months.
I'd want them in the past.
Months and months and months.
Yeah, that would be
great. If you're a professional, you need this. This is, as you say, this is a difference between pro and consumer equipment. But what you were saying, Jeff, reminds me of the drugs industry. It's exactly the same amount of research they put in, except the print cartridges are probably more expensive than drugs, but less, I don't know, probably save much fewer lives.
Haven't they worked out what magenta is like now? Blue, yellow.
Yeah.
So they can stop researching it, surely.
No, I mean, no one wants a 1,000-year ink. I mean, I made some, as soon as this guy installed it for me to review it and trial it, I just printed a picture straight out off my laptop, and I couldn't pick fault with it. It was superb quality, and the ink is still there. It's been sat on the desk in the sunlight for the last month. Hasn't dimmed.
Pretty good.
It's fine.
I just go to Snappy Snaps.
Yeah, absolutely fine. Right, Jeff, your turn, mate. Come on, mate.
Oh, my turn.
Astound us.
Okay, so I'm going to astound you with transporter technology. So,
beat me up, yeah. Scotty.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so it turns out that there's a couple different groups of scientists that have been working on quantum transportation, and they have done a couple different tests, one of which they sent data packets, transporting data packets as opposed to sending them through lines. It was like 6 millimeters. But then another test, they went from Japan to Germany with data packets. And it worked exactly as it should. Of course, these are experiments. So this isn't something that we can look at for the near future as a way for data transfer. But the fact that they were able to successfully manage these quantum transportations of data opens the door for us to be able to instantaneously transfer massive amounts of information from one location to another, and is the foot in the door for maybe at some point many years down the road being able to successfully transport physical objects as well.
Well, these are not physical objects, though, are they? They're talking about particle A and particle B and their relationship between
each
other.
Right. And so what they're doing is transferring small amounts of data that they're referring to as qubits, which is not the same as the distance between your fingers and your elbow.
Yeah.
NSA and you won't be making love it this.
Totally yeah, untraceable.
So what they should be concentrating
on. How do they accept that?
What they should be concentrating on is transmitting feelings. So I know if my wife's pissed off with me, no matter where I am in the world.
Yeah, good luck with that one, dude. Good luck with that one.
If you're anywhere else in the
Kelly's
world,
pissed off with you. That look on Kelly's face is that she's pissed off with you now, mate. And that was like 8,000 miles there, and I got that, you see, so...
There you go, works already.
Go on, Carl. You were saying something sensible.
No, I doubt it very much. I'm waiting for transport, not because I want to transport around the world, just so I don't have to keep going to the offie to get my beer every other night. That'll be good.
Yep, they'll put you out of business, though.
No, because it would still come from them, wouldn't it? They just have to put it on a little transporter pad.
Carling.
Yeah, but you drive a van, mate.
Weak piss. Cold. That's what you need.
That could work.
And then there it is. It appears on your desk.
Before.
I love the future.
I would love that. I mean, it wouldn't teleportation be cool? Be great. No more traffic jams. Just go into a quiet corner.
Just beam where you need to go.
Push your wristwatch. And that's it, you're home.
Just appear in people's houses and go hello and bugger off again.
Yeah. You found an application already, Carl. Well done, mate.
There you go.
That's kind of...
No, it's cool. I'm NSA.
Forward the... Yeah. Excellent.
No, I would strip down naked, paint myself completely, beam into people's houses.
You've got a problem with being naked, haven't you, Jeff? And you've got a problem with people
no,
being in your pantry.
No, he's got a problem
drawers.
With being I dressed.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, Kelly.
We've got a problem with him being naked.
Yeah, he has no problem
wait till
with
I beam
naked
into your
at all.
House.
Do you sit on that printer when it gets spooled up, mate?
Yeah.
Right, I'm glad we moved to Jeff. Who's next?
I've got one.
You've got
I've
one.
Got
go on.
The 3D. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a Guardian article about the, and I love this. This is, I think it's the New York Yankees baseball stadium has got a massive number of cameras so they can do these instant replays in Matrix
well,
style.
It says it's 12.
12.4K. 12.4K ultra.
It's got 12.4K.
Have you seen the shots of them?
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. There's only 12 cameras, but it's a bit too smooth for 12 cameras.
Well, if you consider, well, if they're 4K, maybe they're just...
They're overlapping.
Window on them.
Hugely overlapping, yeah.
Yeah. But if you saw the video footage, I mean, it's I funny. Can see in a year's time if Sky Sports hasn't got that and
well, they're talking about I mean, it already. It's coming this year. They're talking about it
and
to
I
goals.
Thought, well,
it's pretty impressive. Just,
it is. But the thing is, I think it's in some respects it's better than 3D television because it has that dynamic movement. With 3D television, yes, you see it in 3D. You can see the depth of field. But you don't have that the option to be able to change your position of the field. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you could control the camera yourself, and so you could say, right, I want to slide around and watch this, and then slide back and watch this.
Oh, wouldn't that
so
be
you
brilliant.
Could see the angle. That would be really, really cool. That'd be awesome. But if you got some director doing it, then all they want to do is move the camera. I mean, camera movement, which is why I bought that slider, really, and mm-hmm. just anything that's movement adds interest to an image. So,
go so on, yeah, I just thought that's interesting. Yeah.
You're about to say, Kelly.
As an instant replay thing, I think it might be interesting. I don't know how much of that you would need as often in a Yankees game as you would like in football.
Ooh.
Only in American football. And I'm not saying that because of the Yankees or anything. I'm sure there's an Aroyd joke to be made in here somewhere that I'm not finding. But like I really it's the only piece of this that I think is really interesting. First of all, if they're only doing it with 12 cameras, that's more of a testament to 4K, I think, than anything else.
Based on the quality of what I've seen, they're overlapping them.
Yeah, but it's still, that's really awesome quality to be able to do that with 12 cameras. Remember watching the DVD extras for The Matrix and seeing how they did bullet time and how many bajillion cameras that was?
Mm.
So,
good time.
Same sort of thing. Like, to do that with 12 cameras, that's what I think of is them setting up that shot of Trinity kicking the guy and showing... you know, what that actually looked like with all the cameras all around it and being able to see going from that sort of setup to 12 is pretty impressive. So I could see it in sports where there's a lot of instant replay and a lot of dispute. Otherwise, I don't know. Like, so the first thing I think of is American football because of things like field goals and touchdowns where sometimes you can't always tell and they don't always have a camera that's got an angle that shows you definitively whether the guy was still in or out.
That's every sport,
you know, when
in the
they
world.
Score. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's the one I think of in particular. So,
Windrider suggests cricket.
Wow, oh, Jesus. That's how it started on DRS. We haven't got time. But it is an awesome thing. It's absolutely gorgeous to look at.
And it looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. It looks superb. Good story. Shite. Now, I got derided on the net for this, but...
How do you write?
Microsoft. Blake Seven's coming back. Maybe. But what the thing that I was interested in the story is that this is being made by Microsoft. It's going to be an Xbox exclusive.
So that means you have to reboot your computer between each commercial break?
Maybe.
It's not being made by them. They're just going to finance it. It's being made by another company because Sci-Fi was going to buy it originally, was going to have it on their show.
Right.
On their channel, sorry. But I guess if Microsoft buys it, the only way you're going to be able to see it is on...
Xbox.
Yeah, the Xbox.
They're trying to do a Netflix here.
Mm-hmm.
These big tech companies...
This isn't the first time they've done that.
It's not the first time they've screwed that up, is what you meant to say.
Well, that too. But the Guild, they became...
What the hell was the Guild?
Oh, Ewan.
More derision, more derision.
Oh.
It's,
okay.
Does this mean Arak's going to get us blue screen of death, says Batwitch?
Yeah. For those of you that aren't in the know, the Guild is an amazing web series that Felicia Day produced, wrote, and directed, and acted in.
I don't know if we got it over here.
It's about an online gaming guild and their real-world interactions. And it's just brilliant. And so after the first season or two, she needed to have more funding to keep the show going. And Microsoft became the sponsor. So they had to do little things like they took out the Macs and put PCs on the desks and stuff like that. But the way it worked was Xbox got exclusive first runs of every episode as it came out. And then like a week later, then they could go onto YouTube and other channels. So maybe they'll do the same sort of thing here. But the real reason the Guild worked out so well that way is because Felicia Day was brilliant at the way she negotiated the rights.
Right. Okay. You're all upset at me because I didn't know the Guild. But...
is it still available to watch? I've just seen a link from
YouTube,
Kelly.
Download the Pirate Bay browser. You can torrent it, mate.
It does. It is another sign of these tech companies getting into original content, which they obviously must feel they need because they must have a hell of a time negotiating deals with these mm-hmm. various media companies out there that have been king of the hill for so long. And they don't realise that the way they're doing business is coming to an end, unfortunately.
But they're bullies. And I think this is an anti-bully boy tactic. It's kind of like, I'm going to be cooler over here. And then who cares what you make because I'm still going to be cooler over here. And the thing is the media people have played into their hands. Because you look at the BBC studios at Wood Lane, there hasn't been a BBC show made for forever. They've all been third-party people who come in and they get the use of the studios for reduced rates or free so that they can make the show, and then that bill comes off the bill that they give to the BBC when the BBC show it exclusively. But the BBC haven't made a picture, haven't made a show that's their own, probably since the late 70s.
Welcome to the US model for television shows.
Yeah, yeah. So now, the thing is, all of those companies that are out there making media can say, well, I'll tell you what, screw you. I'm going to stick it on the net.
And what's the wonderful thing is we were, you know, maybe 3-4 years ago, we were saying that the ISPs were really bellyaching about the amount of digital content that was being flooded across their networks. Everybody's perfectly happy that 62% of 62% of the internet traffic in America is streamed content. That's the norm now. And it would be foolish if they didn't get on that bandwagon, if they can get the rights to something of a high quality and be able to ship it out there, because it's the easiest means of transmission in the world now.
Yep.
But it's also partly that, for example, Comcast bought a big old chunk of NBC. So Comcast cares a lot less about what kind of traffic I'm generating on my internet account, as long as a significant portion of it is television. Because as long as I'm streaming NBC, then I'm basically paying Comcast twice, which makes mm-hmm. old dudes in suits really inordinately happy. The other interesting thing about this is that the rest of the world, in this case, is catching up to the way that you all been doing things over there with the BBC forever, which is it's a series and it's a story and it has a beginning and a middle and an end, and that's that. And that's one of the things that Netflix is offering people for things like House of Cards or Orange is the New Black is we're not going to make you do it till it stops making us money. We're going to let you tell the story that you have to tell in whatever amount of time it takes you to tell it, and then we'll call it good. And that is a revolutionary idea in the US, because what happens here is if you have a show and it's popular, then you have to run that sucker into the ground. And that's where the phrase jumping the shark comes from, was because Happy Days was so popular for so long and they wanted to keep it popular rather than just let everybody graduate and leave and call it a day. Mm-hmm. They started doing more and more ridiculous things in order to get viewers. So it turned into, you know what would be awesome? We're going to take the Fonz and we're going to jump him over a pool full of sharks on a motorcycle, which is literally what happened. It's an episode of Happy Days, and mm-hmm. that's where the phrase jumping the shark comes from. It's when you've gone so ridiculous to pander for ratings, nobody gives a crap what your show is about anymore. And it's really been nice to see things like House of Cards, where, first of all, you can get Kevin Spacey. And second of all, they're going to tell that story in as long as it takes to tell that story, and that's going to be the end of it.
That's because it's already been told.
Right. But I mean, they're not going to be stuck to Netflix isn't going to go to the people making House of Cards and go, you know, this is really popular. We need 5 more seasons of this, and then have somebody go, I have 2 seasons of story left. How am I going to fill the rest of this time? See, Lost for an example of that.
Awful.
Yes. The Simpsons awful are still program. Going. The Simpsons are still making money, and people still think it's a fun show to watch, and that's basically the only reason it's still on. It's been on for 100 years. It's going to be on for 100 years. I think they actually have jumped sharks, but
did it in episode 1.
Yeah, but you never really it's one of those things that I still can't believe is on the air, only because it's been on forever.
Apparently.
Anyway, that's one of the things that I think is interesting about this. I hope things like The Guild, and this is why I will watch this kind of stuff. I watched The Guild, I watched Orange is the New Black, I watched House of Cards. I watched House of Cards twice because it was awesome, because Kevin Spacey. And I want those things to succeed because I like the good storytelling of them. And I want that to be something that continues and people will understand that content is the way to go. So I really want these kind of things to be really, really good. So, yeah, it is a shame that Heroes went crap. I'm with you on that. I'm sorry.
Apparently, if you want to watch The Guild, all you've got to do is go to watchtheguild.com. There you go.
Yeah, it's all
it
there.
Looks like there's a hell of a lot of it to watch. I mean, that's several weekends of viewing.
Season 6.
Yeah, there are several seasons.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. I might have to catch up then. I might have to catch
up. Good stuff.
That's pretty much it, isn't it? Are we done? Is there anything else?
Picks.
No, we'll do adverts first. UK2.net, love them to bits. And we got a competition coming up in a minute as well. I'm having a meeting with them on Thursday in London. We're having a beer at the George at Borough. So if you're in London and you want to come for a beer at Borough and you want to meet with Andy from UK2, he'll be there and I'll be buying all his beer, then be there, 5 p.m. onwards. I'll be there from 3 p.m. onwards, I think. Got an early train. I'm not going home until 10:30 that night, so I'll be doing some proper drinking. I might have a liver by the end of next week, actually. But you could tell you're great. You've got tons of services and that kind of stuff. And you might be au fait with HTML or something like that, to the point where, you know, you can get your own website going. But then a lot of people, I guess, it kind of tumbles down when it gets to things like shopping carts and so on. And even if you do understand HTML, Website Builder is one of their products that you can tack on the end of your knowledge, and it'll do drag and drop effectively for setting up your shopping cart and setting up your e-commerce stuff. So you can use it just to tack on the end of what's going on. And we've got a code for that as well, so you can get money off using Website Builder, and it's not that expensive to begin with, and it is very, very easy. Carl's used it to trial it last year when it was a different name, and he said it was easy, dead easy. So check out UK2, support them because they support us. Go to our website, use the sponsors link, use their codes. We get credit for it, everybody's happy, and they're nice people as well as. So please support them because they support us. Thank you very much. And we've got a competition. Jim, who's one of the listeners, has sent these through. He won these in a prize in a competition. And they are STM products for you. The Arvo iPhone 5 case, which is here. There you go. Special thing with a little flip stand, little kickstand, so you can watch your video and that kind of thing on it. And the Tracer Deluxe stylus and pen. There we go.
Gorgeous.
Very nice. Looks pretty good, I have to say.
It's practically a sonic screwdriver, you guys.
It is. It is practically a sonic screwdriver. Two items. There we go. This is the competition. If you would like to win both of these items, courtesy of Jim, you've got two things to do. First thing you've got to do is support Jim's favourite charity, because he's given us these free of charge. So please, it's an honour system, so I'm trusting you. Give a small sum of money to the Alzheimer's Society via PayPal or something like that, if you can. And when you've done that, then you can enter. All you've got to do is send an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Don't send it to any other address that you think you may have, because I bin them. One of the criteria of the competition is you send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com.
That you can follow instructions.
That's right. And tell us what STM stands for. That's all you got to do. So what does STM stand for? And you could win both of these things, because they're cool. And you have to give some kind of donation or service of some description to the Alzheimer's Society. Thank you very much. Cheers, Jim. Thank you very much for that. Nice. Very, very kind. They're brand new and unused. He won them in a competition, so you haven't got to pick any toenails out or anything like that. Cool things. Jimmy boy.
My one's kind of an aspirational cool thing. My wife and I were away at the weekend, and when you're away from the house, you kind of have these sort of thoughts as to what you want to do with it. You know, we really need to sort out. We need to get a new fridge. We need to get redecorate the back room, and we need to. That's not a euphemism. And we need to sort out the windows. And I was looking online.
Not if the painters are already in, mate.
Oh, Lord. And I'm going to. Yes, I saw that the idea of smart windows are on the way, and these are windows which save energy by using nanoparticles in the windows to reflect particular, depending on how bright it is and the different type of radiation that's coming through the windows. It reflects different. And I mean, again, maybe 5 years' time when we've saved up for it, this will be the norm. And I'm very much looking forward to the next generation of windows, which not only are we well used to double glazing now, but windows that actually don't overheat the house in the summer. So I'll ping it into the chat room. But it's a really interesting read. It's the Raising the IQ of Smart Windows, it's called. And I'm looking forward to. I mean, glass is just the most amazing technology, and if you consider the Shard and all the buildings built in London, I wish I could build a house completely out of glass, but that would be a greenhouse.
You can. It's called a Huff House.
Really? Oh,
I'd love to do that. Go to huffhouse.com. It's HUFFHAUS. They're a German firm, and they sell you a kit house, and most
of it's one of the most ecological. One of the most ecological ways to build, because concrete is unbelievably bad for the environment, given the amount of energy that goes in. But glass, practically recyclable. So, smart windows. Look out for them in the next few years.
Huff House is all K glass type stuff, so it reflects it all back in, really efficient.
Amazing. Mm. I shall. Yes, that's my pick as well then, Ewan. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
James, you're not allowed to enter the competition, dude.
Oh, no, I was just telling you what the answer was, just in case
you... Oh, okay. Thanks, mate. Very kind. Cheers, buddy.
Oh, you know him well.
Yeah, okay. I'm guilty. Jeff, what do you have for us, pal?
All right. So I'm going to start with a recap. A couple weeks ago, my pick was the DeLorean Lego kit.
Oh, my God, that's so awesome!
Yeah, it is. So I went ahead and bought it. And, check this out. So I put Marty McFly inside. The gull wing doors I just broke off. The gull wing doors open just as they should. And maybe you can see inside.
It has the license plate.
Control panels. It has the flux capacitor. It has the out of time license plate. And it has
one excited Kelly.
Kelly's got wood.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
I don't have the barcode license plate on it, but check it out. The wheels do fold down so that you can fly as well. And
we have to come back to Kelly.
On the top here where you have the nuclear fuel port, you can attach the Mr. Fusion to that. And then it also has all of the other hardware that Doc Brown had to build in the past so that they could get the energy back into the DeLorean so that they could jump back to the future.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so it's...
Does Kelly need a cigarette?
Well, she has a moment alone.
No, because she hasn't finished yet.
Yeah. So anyhow, it is amazingly cool. And it was so worth the $35 I spent on it.
And I have to go to the Lego store.
So there you go. That's my follow-up to
Morty! Morty! Highly prized, it would seem, because it's at Smith's, which is like a UK toy store, for $34.99. But if you hunt around on eBay, you can get it for $34.99.
Oh, there you go.
So I think that's Kelly's Christmas present sorted.
Yeah. Oh dear.
The day this I ordered it right away, straight from Lego, and it showed up a few days later, and right at my door. So I didn't even have to go to a store.
Top marks as well, Jeff, for not saying Legos.
I've had to work so hard on that.
Yeah.
And I did it just for you.
You can come back just because you didn't say S on the end of Lego.
Thank you. Okay. So now my actual pick for this week.
Oh, no, that wasn't it.
No, that was just my follow-up.
That was the follow-up report on the previous pick.
Right.
But now I'm all distracted because somebody said Superstar Destroyer in the chat room.
Oh, my God, yes.
We'll come back to Kelly.
Did it get hot in here, or is it just the Lego?
I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so my actual pick this week is an Easter egg in Google Maps. So... There is a blue police box in Google Street View in London that you click on it, it takes you inside, and it is the control room of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
You guys. Oh, my God, you guys.
It's outside Earl's Court station, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And isn't it the last series, the set of the last series?
Yes. Yeah. It's the current TARDIS interior for the 11th Doctor.
TARDIS won't let me in.
I can't get in.
No, I can't get in as well. She won't let you in, you see. The TARDIS, if it doesn't like you, won't let you in.
Right. So what you need to do to actually get in, when you're in Google Street View, look near the bottom right corner of the view, and you'll see a double chevron. Click on that. That will take you inside the TARDIS. And it's really cool.
Yo. Yeah, if you look at the road, like there's the little forward arrow and back arrow, like to go back and forth up and down the street. Yep. And it's right next to the forward arrow. There's a double forward arrow. And if you hit that, then boom, the bridge of the 11th TARDIS.
Is it a bridge?
It's bridge control area, whatever people call it. It's the central control part where you flip switches and make the warp warp noise. And there you go. That's what it does.
You can also go down the stairs and look underneath that main platform and see the heart of the TARDIS.
Uh-huh.
We're all is shit audio because we're all sitting doing it now.
Absolutely, no, yeah.
I'm doing it again. It's so awesome. It's so good. You can walk around, like, the whole thing. It's practically like getting to go and touch stuff. And if you're somebody like me and Jeff who live in the United States and don't have the option to go and, like, haul off and take the tour of... the BBC Doctor Who experience or whatever the crap they're calling it, that thing where you get to go see like a real life TARDIS and everything. For us, this is about as close as it's ever going to get. And that makes it a Mazer Beams.
Do you know me and Ewan could go and visit this?
Yeah, I could do that on Saturday.
Yeah, get a photo.
I could do that on Saturday before the start of the year.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. Go do that.
Before the beer fest. I'll get a picture and I'll tweet it out. It'll be me with a sardonic grin.
That would be absolutely awesome.
Now, I dropped myself outside exactly right outside it, and as soon as I let go of the mouse, I ended up in somewhere called Addison Crescent, which is absolutely nowhere frigging near. So maybe that's like a bit of a Doctor Who type thing going on.
It's wibbly wobbly.
The TARDIS moved you.
Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Now I've gone past it.
Well, you've been past it for a long time.
I can't get in the damn thing.
I can't get the double chevron. I'm going to click on this for a while.
Shit.
The TARDIS, she is a finicky lady.
I know. I just keep going past it.
She opened up and let me right in.
That says more about you than it does about us, I think.
Ding dong.
That's crap. There's nothing cool
sure
about that.
To do with my
That's a crap.
You and Bloody's 5 second review.
I'm going to go and look. I'm going to look on the inside for real.
It was going to be a great picture, and now it's just going to be a picture of the TARDIS with you in the middle finger.
Me bang.
You can do it when you come out Kelly, the have to festival take it you, and you can be it. Peeing against it.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll bring a bottle down, like one of those athlete bottles, so I can squeeze a huge stream, and I'll put some orange juice in it, weak orange juice.
Yeah.
We'll get arrested. I haven't been arrested in a long time.
Change the usual, then.
You need a key.
I've never been arrested. I'm just saying that. Right, Carl.
Oh, my one's an iOS.
Oh, Miss Kelly out, because she was orgasming. Kelly, what have you got for us, mate?
That awesome. It's this site that I really like. Now that we've resolved the printer issue, this site is called QBCraft, and QBCraft is a little origami site, and you get little like black heady creatures, and some of them are doctors and what have you. And there's all kinds of stuff that's there that you can print out and fold up and make. And I've made a few of them, and they're really super fun. And they have all manner of fun stuff. And they do some pop culture ones according to, like, stuff that's happening. So, like, when season 5 of Breaking Bad came out, they did, like, a little blockhead Walter White and some other stuff. The new Batman movie came out, and they did a Dark Knight and the Bane Dark Knight. And there's some Legend of Zelda ones. There's some Ninja Turtle ones. There's a QBCraft Neil deGrasse Tyson, which I made, which was really cute. And they just are, they're fun to make. And it's one of those nice sort of non-screen things that's kind of fun to do once in a while. So you go print in color on regular printer paper and cut it out and then fold it up together. And most of them really aren't that complicated, even if it takes 2 or 3 sheets of paper to get all the pieces that you need. They're still usually not super complex, and you can use like a glue stick or a little bit of tape and still get something that looks really awesome. So that's my pick this week. QBCraft.com.
Dr.
C-U-B-E-E craft.
Dr. Doom is brilliant.
It's a shame I can't afford print ink no more.
Yeah.
Now, it come September, mate.
Yeah.
Come Ready September. Printed at work.
I will be you giving go. You the outlet in September to vent your frustrations, mate, and have all the QBCraft you want. Because I can see you're a big QBCraft guy. That's not a euphemism for anything.
I'm big.
What's your cool thing, mate?
Mine is iOS game, and it's Plants vs. Zombies 2.
Now then, have you played it much today?
I played it, yes. I played it for about an hour or so. And it's a freemium game, so it's free to buy, and you can cheat. You can buy power-ups, get through levels quicker if you so wish. But you don't have to. I mean, I've just been playing along without spending a penny. I've been getting quite far.
$1.99 for flowers, I heard.
Sorry?
$1.99 for each flower.
Well, no, I mean, you can win them. You can either buy them straight away, if you're that way inclined, or you can win them eventually just by playing through the game.
Right.
But yeah, so you can cheat and buy them if you wish. You're rich. But it's good. It's just as addictive as the first one.
Good.
The strategy still works. Well, it's working at the moment that I developed on the first one, so hopefully it will carry on.
Ellis loves it. He's going to love 2. I haven't got 2 for him yet, because I haven't told him that 2's out. He won't sleep if I do. My cool thing
is what?
MyBook Studio 3 TB drive. FireWire 800, and it's compatible with Mac if you want it as well, so you can set it up as a journal Mac drive. I need one of these because I need to travel with it, because I've got 2 already. I find these pretty good. I mean, a lot of people slag off Western Digital, and I don't know why, because I've always found them to be quite excellent. So I hope my drive doesn't crap out overnight. But I use 2 mirrored ones here that are automatically mirrored using ChronoSync on timer. But what's nice about the FireWire one is you can relay the Fire one like you can with Thunderbolt, and you get all the FireWire speed, but it just relays from port to port through each of the drives, so you can daisy chain them out across your Mac, and you've only need 1 port into your laptop, and that's it. Job done. So that's the reason I'm picking it now, because I've picked that before, going back quite a while, is eBuyer.com have got them for £140 each. So for the Firewire element. It's very, very good. So I bought two of those this week because I'm running out of space rapidly. I've got about 25 terabytes of storage here, and Christ knows where it's all gone, but it's all full. So, and it's not torrented movies or porn. So.
Is it all catalogue, though, Ewan?
No, God. That's why I can't find out what's in it. I've got a whole pile of photos that I took for clients going back 5 years, and they're on drives. I don't delete anything, but I need to find them. I need to see it. What I could do with is having a month off work to sit and sort out all my drives, but I'd never get any time to sit down and do it. So there you go. I'm hoping that that will transport quite well in my laptop bag. I'm figuring it's going to be still, so it can't be too bad. And I'll firewire it up when I get there, and that gives me a load of work when I'm... And they work really well with Final Cut Pro 10, so the transfer speeds are good enough, which is nice. Where can we get a hold of you, Jimmy Boy? Hot.
Oh, usual place. I'm on Twitter, SYZYGY. Pronounce Syzygy, if you're interested.
Does Ewan need a minion? The sex.
Everyone needs a minion. Well, isn't Ellis your minion?
Thanks, mate. Oh, God, no. You're the only productive one, not Ellis. Destructive one. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm at MacObserver.com, and I'm on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jake Gamm at both places. I apparently have taken over your network, so you can find me on all kinds of shows here. And Apple Context Machine, we have communicators and a bunch of other stuff, too. So Google me. I'm easy to find.
Yes. I heard you're easy. And Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on sometimes Twitter and mostly app.net as Verso. And you can also find me elsewhere on this network, usually on the comic show. We did quite the show this week, so you can find us there. You can find me there along with Mr. Gamut and a couple of other British Tech Network regulars. And you can also find me on the Tua Topcast. And if you prefer explicit tags with your podcast, you can catch me on Angry Mac Bastards.
Excellent. Now, did you know that Blake Seven did a comic? I didn't know that until this evening.
No.
I did an image search. Blake Seven had a comic out, and it's got 10 cents on it. So it's...
Olden.
Yeah. Now, whether it's real or not, I don't know. It might not be. But I sent that out to Dr. Happy Mac, the comment that came back was, maybe we have found an artist that's worse than Gabe Dibbons.
It's zero cents, that comic.
Yeah, pretty nasty. Well, I think it might be a fake, but there we go. If there was a Blake Seven magazine, super cool, but not by the artist that drew that, because it's frigging awful. And Carl, where are you, mate?
You get me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on a regular guest on The Matt Show or The Big Show or The Media Show, even though we're not doing one this week.
No. And if you'd like to join us on Saturday, Carl and I and Kev and Tone in the chat room and Andy of Andy and Betsy fame will be at the British Beer Festival at Olympia. And we will be mostly... You can buy beer there, right?
They might have a little bit, yeah.
Just a touch. We'll be there drinking, so come and have a drink with us. There we go. It's a tenner to get in, I think. It's down to £8 now, actually, so it'll be great fun. We're having a beer next Thursday night, so those of you that are quick on the uptake will realise the big show will not be next Thursday night, because I'll be in London. So we'll be looking at having the big show on Friday. How's that fit?
Okay.
So no one will come. I'll be on my own. That's normal. We'll see you next week, Friday night. Take care.
Bye.
Cheers.
That's kind of awesome.
More beer, please.
Yeah. That was my present from... Oh, God, a near choke then. James, that was my present from James.
Very good. It's nice.
Awesome.
Madden.